We are recording right now, just so you know. So the pressure is very much on.
Ew, don't say that. Ew, I'm trying to recreate the memory of us sitting there with our chocolate cake and our coffee and talking about how we have had such a good time on this podcast, right? Because that's where it all started.
I thought you were going to talk about the memory of us sitting a different time with coffee in Madison Square Park in, what was it, like early 2021?
Oh my God, I remember
that. Talking about podcast stuff and how you wanted to start a podcast.
And how you told me, yeah, I have these two microphones. Uh-huh. That's really funny. And I sat there and I was like,
that's all we need.
That's all we need. And then I think I pretty much like waited like one time after. Mm-hmm. And I just texted him. I was like, I don't know if I texted you or we were in like Sun. We might have been in that cafe we always go to, the Sunburst Cafe. Yeah, and I would have been like, do you just want to do it with me?
Yeah. It was at the same time casual and also like we knew how big of a deal it was because like you and me, if we're going to say we're going to do something, like we're going to do it. And we knew, I don't know if we knew that we would be spending probably hundreds of hours on it at this point.
Yeah. That's nuts that we've actually spent so much time together at this point.
Yeah.
So, and I think initially when I first started the podcast, 2021, I think it was also like a very different point for me, as well. I think like a lot of, I was at a different spot with like even like the way that I was like learning about a lot of like communication styles, like boundaries. Like I was learning all these different things that I didn't necessarily learn growing up. And for me, this podcast taught, kind of grew me up too. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of made me like sit there and really reflect about a lot of things that I had going on. And hearing everybody else also made me kind of feel like that way as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, how is your experience?
I mean, similar to yours, hearing these conversations, I guess, is a little bit different because I'm usually in the third chair just taking notes the whole time. But like hearing you talk with someone who you've never met before, because sometimes that is the case. I like intentionally towards the end of our time, like recording season one, like I was choosing people who you clearly never met. Maybe you met once, like in the Lipton Lounge freshman year.
Right.
You know, but then you would talk with them and I would be like, okay, I know so much about this person. Pooja knows nothing. And by the end of the conversation, I was learning things about this person and I was seeing them in a totally different light. And the way that you got there with them taught me a lot about people in general and the power of sitting down with someone for an hour and 30 minutes and having a conversation with purpose and direction to it.
You know? Yeah, and I think personally, I didn't realize how much having those conversations with people would affect me. Mm-hmm. Like I started this podcast to show and bring a little more authenticity into people's lives in a city, especially like New York, where, you know, been here for like 3 years at this point. And it's sometimes very hard to find that one genuine connection.
Yeah.
So for me, when I started, I did not know what I would have unlocked kind of throughout this journey or even what necessarily would have happened throughout this journey. Like we started this over a year ago.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
We really did.
Like, I don't know. I even had like a totally different look back then. Like it was that
crazy. Yeah, no, I think we've both changed so much just by life's events, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and like I think, you know, I think there was specifically like this one massive thing that we're going to, you know.
I like when I said that, I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like there's like this definitely this one event that like changed definitely your and I lives a lot. And I think this is, you know, in our 1 year journey, like of creating this entire podcast, of filming these different episodes, in the weirdest way possible, that was kind of my breakthrough. And I just kind of got it. Like I kind of got how to sit here and empathize with people and, you know, to really understand that like these certain events are, you know, as small as they are, as little time as they are, they're so monumental in creating who you are.
Yes. Yes.
And
we've got to explore that in each person's life, right? Like we got to explore some of their monumental events. Cause I think you experience something yourself. We experience something ourselves collectively. And it was, we finally were like able to see like, wow, that event can impact us so much. So, like, what events in another person's life impact them, and how does that shape
them? Yeah, and I also think it was just so unexpected.
Yeah.
As well. I think nobody expected it. Like, you know, later on, as the season releases, definitely we'll be mm-hmm. kind of speaking about the event a little more. Mm-hmm. Maybe even going into season two. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I just want to say, like, in that moment for me, like, it was so unexpected, so out of the blue. I remember people, I literally got texts being like, this is a joke.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like,
I remember those texts too.
Then they were really, you know, as much as like they were definitely annoying to me in the moment, I got it. Like, I understood.
Right.
It did seem like a goddamn joke.
I literally went and visited a friend this weekend, and he was like, when you posted like about it, like the fun thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I thought it was a joke. Cause like he was like, I could see you joking about that, and like the worst, and like you know, one of your worst jokes could be that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish that was one of my worst jokes, you know.
No, and I know, and it's you know, I think the last two people that we talked to in season one mm-hmm. really got to feel the aftermath of that.
Totally.
Cause like.
Yeah. Do you want to kind of explain the difference between the interviews before and then like? Kind of go into like that moment in the second to last interview that we're posting where like it all kind of changed.
Yeah, sure. So I thought it was really important, you know, me and Wyatt both thought it was really important to have this conversation, but especially after I brought up the point that before these last two people, we actually took months off,
mm-hmm.
like fully, I think 3 or 4 months off. And if you can't already see through these episodes, I'm a massive workaholic. So mm-hmm. for me, that's like non-existent.
Yeah. I also do, just backtracking a little bit, I do think we should like give a little summary of like why we took those months off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sure.
Would you be comfortable with that?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I guess it's like story. It's a long and complicated one. This relationship that I had with this person was a long and complicated one as well. But if I could really encompass it in a small amount of time, it would be that I randomly met this kid by chance 3 years ago because I liked his friend and I didn't actually think I was going to be friends with him. Realized he lived one floor above me.
Mm-hmm.
And before you knew it, weeks later, we were kind of inseparable. He was one of my best friends. His name is Tej. I think we can
mm-hmm.
say that. and, you know, in the past 2.5, 3 years of my life, I went through a lot, moving away from home, getting, you know, super involved in New York and like all these different scenes and mm-hmm. learning how to navigate friendships and relationships yeah. and healthy things. And throughout all these different times, he was there for me.
Mm-hmm.
In a way which, you know, maybe he didn't always say the right thing, but he always was there to just be like, listen, like, you're not perfect, but no one's asking you to be perfect. And I think it was, you know, he had that sort of impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, as I started getting better and, you know, we all started figuring out our own lives, you know, on an October night, I get a phone call and, yeah, he's dead. And it was really hard. And I kind of, in a weird feeling because, you know, his roommate at the time actually called me and it was just too many calls. And I just like knew something really bad had happened. Mm-hmm. And I ran and I was there probably the fastest I've ever run in my life. And I couldn't believe it as well, honestly, if I wasn't there in that moment, mm-hmm. like standing there in his apartment and being like, asking, honestly, I asked this out loud. I was like, wait, so that's it? Like, you're not going to try to do anything? Like, I sat there and I was like, Dion, come on. Like, this is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to try to do anything? Like, mm-hmm. this can't be it. Like, and I think reflecting about that 6 months after,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't just saying this can't be it. Like, you know, obviously I wasn't saying about like, you know, like his heart rate and things like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
I realized I was saying like 3 years like, I guess 2.5 or some point. Like,
yeah.
And this is it. Like, you didn't even, like, I just was so confused, and I just, my entire life collapsed, basically, within the 5-second period that I was there, and realized that's it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it was really hard, and so, and, you know, Wyatt, I mean, you can explain, like, why it was, Tej's freshman year roommate. Without Tej, I would not be sitting here recording this podcast with Wyatt across from me right now.
Yeah, I mean, he made this podcast in a lot of ways.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So that's why I took it off, but I know Wyatt has his own, like, little thing as well, which he ended up taking off for as well, but I don't know if you wanted to necessarily talk about that.
Well, just, like, even today, I was walking with an old friend who I hadn't seen in probably, like, months at this point, and I was really, you know, close with her and her friends freshman year. She was like, I need life updates. Like, what's happened this year?
Yeah.
And I was telling her, like, the big, you know, fun achievements, like internships, like friendships, you know, things like that. Elijah's doing well, stuff like that. And then, like, we were almost at her dorm. I was walking her back to her dorm because it was in the direction of my apartment. And, like, she mentioned Tej, actually, but earlier in the conversation. And I just, like, shrugged it off. Like, I didn't really, like, I was like, there's no point in getting into it.
Right.
And I forget how this came up, but I was like, well, the one other big thing that happened, and it was, like, really, like, I felt as if it was important to say in the conversation. I was like, the other big thing that happened is that, like, Tej passed away in October. And she, I don't expect anybody to know how to react in that moment, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But it's just, like, I feel like it's still something that, like, it's there, and it's really hard to avoid thinking about it if I'm seeing someone from that time in my life.
Of course.
And not to say that Tej wasn't a huge part of my life for the years to come. Like, I remember he was one of the only people who would, like, consistently call me in quarantine. Like, his contact... It was the only contact in my phone, you know, that had a heart on it. Like, it had a pink heart on it. And, like, even every fucking time you call me, Pooja, it says Tej's friend under in the description.
God, that's
like,
so
it
funny.
Literally, like, because I knew I met you through Tej, obviously,
right,
and I put it in the contact so I would remember who you are. And obviously, I know who you are now. But I just, like, I can't seem to delete that, you know? Like, it's like he is us, he is our relationship, and, like, he is this podcast in so many ways.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I am, you know, as much as I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the main character of my life, I was very honored to be referred to as one of his best friends. Like, genuinely, like, one of my biggest.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all, and that's so strange, because, like, I just, even, like, dating-wise and things like that, I never wanted to be referred to as somebody's friend, somebody's girlfriend, somebody's whatever.
Right, right.
But honestly, hearing that, I don't even... It's my favorite thing.
I mean, obviously, you're so much more than just someone's friend.
Sure.
But, like, it is an honor to, like, still have that. Like, I can't get that away. I can't put that away, you know? Like, it's there, and he's there in everything still. And
yeah, and, you know, like, the thing is, like... Yeah, he was the biggest idiot in some ways,
mm-hmm,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one time, Wyatt does not like people going into his bed with outside clothes. By the way, they're roommates, right? So this is not, like, a weird thing that all three beds are in a room.
Yeah, especially people like Tej. They're just so messy.
So messy.
Disgusting.
And, and Wyatt had left for winter break a little early.
Yeah.
So... So Tej was like, wait, Wyatt's not here anymore? And I was like, yeah. He was like, okay, let me just hop in his bed.
With his fucking jeans on.
Jeans and like his dirty socks.
Yeah.
And he hopped in his bed, and I was like, oh, I'm taking a video. And I think I took a video once of him hopping in and then of me hopping in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the funniest thing, because I'm pretty sure you replied and you're like, what the fuck?
I replied with such joy, though. Like, it was genuine. Like, I was back in California, and I was just missing you guys. And I was missing Tej. Like, I was like, of course this is happening. Like, I'll wash my sheets when I get back. I don't care. Like, it was just, I remember that feeling of seeing that video. I'm like, these are my people right here. They know how to fuck with me, you know?
No, literally. And, like, I don't know. Just shit like that. Like, just constantly, right? And, like, and I think, like, in, like, I think sometimes I personally, you know I did a lot and whatever and all the random crap that you tell yourself to kind of make yourself feel bad about this stuff. But for me, like, you always wish you did a little more.
Of course.
Right? And I guess also, like, you know, with these type of things, you realize how precious your life and other people's lives are.
Yeah.
And how that, you know, I thought I was, like, master fixer.
Right.
Like, me freshman year was master fixer that could have fixed anybody and anything and any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, you know, I grew out of it a little bit, but to some extent, I still believed it, you know?
Of course.
Then this happened, something that, you know, like, he was my best friend. Like, I should have known.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think the master fixer thing, it realized, it gave me a real understanding to how important, you know, understanding how everybody's imperfect.
Yeah.
No one can fix everything.
Yeah.
And the only person that you can really 100% control or help is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with that kind of in mind, you know, taking, I think after this whole incident happened, you know, I took a second and, you know, reevaluated a lot of my life. And I think I have him to thank for that too. Because in a weird way, he has no idea that after how much, you know, love and care he gave me, how after it also helped me a lot. You know, this might have been the single most broken I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out of this, you know, I learned how to stand up for myself. And I learned how to put boundaries here. And I learned that I have to be kinder to myself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, taking all these lessons I've learned after, you know, Tedge's death, and, you know, how, like, even when he was dead, he helped me more than he could ever imagine. More than he would send me texts and be like, you know, sometimes, like, I don't understand why you're my friend because, like, you help me so much and I'm an idiot that likes to just do stupid things. And I was like, that's why I'm friends with you, because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like I'm friends with you because you make me laugh. Yeah. I'm friends with you
and
because...
And that's the ultimate way that he
has
ever helped
exactly.
me. And he continues to help
and,
us.
And it continues. You know? And even after, you know, like... And I think I was really worried about getting my life back together. I was really worried because I was so sad for so long. And my job, you know, even recording this podcast, is I can't overwhelm people with grief. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, we took months off of this too.
Right.
Like, this podcast is a show of empathy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So these last two people, I was actually very nervous to film.
Mm-hmm.
The last two people that we ended up filming. And I remember me calling Wyatt and being like, I'm really nervous, actually. Because I really hope I'm able to be as empathetic, as, you know, open, as kind, as, you know, not sad all the time.
Yeah.
And be able to do that. And, you know, I was really, I was really nervous. And I think after the episode, I realized it actually did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like, the past 3 months made me more empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
It made me more kind. It made me more understanding.
Yeah. And like, you said something earlier that I wanted to touch on, that, like, you always thought you could fix people and, like, make people perfect humans, you know? But I think, like, with all of this that has happened, you realize that you can't always fix people. And, like, this podcast is not about fixing people. It's about, like, us being a collective together and trying to understand how we can all just do our best, you know?
Yeah. And taking that idea is, I think, what has helped us even form season two.
Mm-hmm.
Of the fact of the matter is, life will never be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you have to kind of make the best of it and kind of get as close to it as possible, but it will never happen, right?
Yeah.
So evidently, like, again, these last two people that we ended up going, I think I went in with a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was that mindset of, like, I'm not here to tell them that their life is going to be picture perfect from now on. And I think the last two episodes are going to kind of convey that message.
Completely.
I mean, from your side, how was the difference, I guess, between the beginning and sort of the end?
I mean, I think the episodes speak for themselves. The last two episodes were just content-wise, like, so... I mean, these people talked about the most personal things to them, you know? And I don't even know if it was exactly what you were saying to them that did this, but it was, like, an energy that you went into these interviews with, which was, like, just a deep understanding and a deep curiosity and respect and not necessarily, like, motivated to try to figure someone out, you know?
Yeah, I think the best part about this is that, you know, obviously going into these interviews, I've always, you know, it's a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to sit here and, you know, get some nice stories out, things like that. But I think going into these interviews, especially after such a hard time I'd went through really prior to that, my goal wasn't to get nice stories or beautiful things. My goal was to sit there and just provide, I guess, an open understanding space mm-hmm. for them to say things that they wish they could tell people who are experiencing the same things as they are.
Totally.
And I think that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think before this entire incident in October, I didn't truly understand what it felt like to experience deep, deep, deep loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that everything else was discounted, not saying I've never gone through things, but I think this was the one thing that I went through that genuinely brought out such a deeper appreciation for people,
mm-hmm.
which is not what I thought it was going to be in the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, I thought this was going to, like, it was like, I'm never going to be happy again. And I was going to go on my life. And I thought I was going to be sad all the time and want to talk about my sadness all
right,
the time.
Right,
and
right.
It was like that for, like, 2 weeks yeah. or, like, a month.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I just started to just really want to be happy again. And yeah. I just really wanted to sit here and understand.
I mean, I think you have, like, this innate, like, resilience to you that's, like, you can't be kicked down, Pooja. Like, you cannot be kicked down. Like, it is, like, reflex. It's a muscle that is very strong in you to just get back up, always. And that's something that I've always noticed in you.
Yeah. But I guess this was the first time I realized that I don't need to get up right away.
Right. No, yeah, totally.
And I think, you know, I've always appreciated that quality in me of, like, always being able to get up and brush things off and get mm-hmm. up and brush things off. But I think this is the first time in my life where I was like, okay, don't brush it off.
I don't think it's brushing it off. I think it's transforming.
Yeah.
Into it. Like, I think that there's, like, a transformation to it.
Yeah. You know? And that thing is, like, when I was a kid and when I was younger and going through things,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely just brush it off. Yeah. I would get up and brush it off. I would get up and ignore it. I would get up
right.
and like, push through it.
Like, ignoring it and, like, brushing it off conveys, like, you know, you're, like, trying to, like, find, like, what you were before, like, this thing happened.
Yeah.
But I think you made this thing, like, a part of you, and you bring it with you into the interviews.
Yeah, and you know? I think, and that's the thing, it's the beautiful part about it, is I did get up slower than I would have obviously done, because I mm-hmm. actually, I've had another friend who's died on me when I was 16. So this is not the first time I've gone through something like this. But that other one was way different than this one, because the other one, I got up immediately, and I actually scored the highest on my SAT that I'd ever scored. I'd gotten the highest grades. I was the highest achieving person I was when I was sad. And I knew that, like, that was a choice I could have made this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need the good grades. I could have just gotten the good grades. I could have just been, like, this really big machine. But this time, it just felt wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like I deserved more.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I deserved to take a little more time and heal. And talking to especially these last three episodes were extremely healing to me.
Yeah.
It made me realize that this whole incident didn't destroy me as a person, but actually allowed me to grow.
And I think, as I said before, like, you took this with you into the episodes, and there was, like, a specific moment in the episode, and I don't want to reveal too much, but there was a moment, and the listeners will see, like, when Ashi, our first guest that we'll show you guys, like, said something that made Pooja and I just look at each other. And we knew in that moment that we had to bring it up. Like, we weren't planning to bring it up
yeah.
in this season. We were thinking, like, okay, it feels like we've taken enough time that it's okay to bring up now, right? Like, but maybe in season two, we'll just wait. We want to get done with season one. But then we were doing these season one interviews and we're like, we can't ignore this. And this is a part of us now.
Because like also like, you know, wise, we didn't want to change it up in the middle. Like genuinely, right, that wasn't our thing.
Structurally, that does not make any
structurally,
sense.
Structurally, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, but none of it did make sense, you know?
So
we looked at each other and we just nodded and we were like, okay, here we go. And I think the podcast changed after that, you know?
Yeah. I think at that point, you know, I felt like I was working, you know, to make this podcast a thing. And like I was kind of putting my energy into the podcast. Uh-huh. After that interview, I felt like the podcast put energy in me.
Yeah.
I felt like it was kind of giving back to me what
I love that
we'd kind of been working for for so long. And we didn't need to take this much amount of time. And I, you know, but I kind of enjoyed the fact that we did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all that work and effort I put in, even if we still have to put in, like, I mean, it's not any less work for sure, but it gave me that energy to literally for the first time after that episode in those 3 months, I danced in my apartment. I was such a happy person before. I would do this all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember calling Wyatt after and I was like, did that just go like fucking great? Yeah. Like, wasn't that just wonderful?
Yeah.
And I just remember that was one of the first moments that I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't just being like, okay, like get through the next day. Mm-hmm. Just say you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I was just trying to chant myself that it was going to be fine. That was like actually the first day I sat there and I was like, oh, I'm going to be great.
You're going to be great.
I'm going to be
great. And Pooja, how are you doing now these days?
Oh, my God. These days, I am feeling so good. Like, the past week of my life has been the best week ever. Not because anything happened.
Yeah.
But because I literally wake up at 7:30 a.m. Yeah. And I'm like, I love my life. And
to wake up and, like, really be happy is a very hard thing for people these days. You know?
I know. Especially in college. Especially, you know, with the schedules we have of 12 hours. And
yeah, I mean, there's a lot hanging over your head when you wake up if you're, you know, a college student or a person with responsibilities.
Yeah.
And, like, I very much admire that. And, like, there was a switch of sorts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so also for context as well, you know, me and Wyatt had probably taken, like, a couple weeks apart because of spring break, a bunch of random stuff.
Insane projects, stuff like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can talk about it. Like, I feel like before, I felt like, you know, it was still like, I was still getting better, but it was like a slow progress.
We were like burnt out naturally. Like we needed spring break.
And all of that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was necessarily just spring break for me personally. But when I saw Wyatt again, I just felt like light.
Yeah.
And happy.
It was really amazing. And Pooja like looked at, we're like getting coffee and we're having to circle it all the way back. We're getting coffee. It's like 9 p.m. at night. I was really looking at Pooja with a weird face of like, why are you drinking a latte at this hour, girly? But
worst decision of my life, by the way.
No, I could tell because she was just hopped up on caffeine and that was the lightness. No, she was like, there was a lightness to her and she looks at me and she goes like, I'm funnier now, aren't I? And I go, Pooja, I can't lie to you. You are. You're really funny these days, like for some reason. And it's because like it reminded me of like that freshman year kind of funny. Like it's like you had a full like transformation almost. Like you were just so funny in that moment.
And light. Yeah. And I think it was the lightness that I missed.
Right.
You know, because freshman year came to the city bright-eyed and wonderful, you know, and I felt like I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so these last three episodes really represent a growth. And going into season two, we're expecting to bring that energy back.
Yeah.
And I really hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah.
I honestly, the last three episodes are my favorite by far.
Completely.
And I really, really hope also to kind of emphasize the point that this podcast is not here to fix everything. It is not going to, I know for a fact, like my goal wasn't to fix everything. This podcast's goal is just to help people understand that there's always someone who's going through the same thing that you're going through. And if your life can be 5% less worrisome or less anxiety filled because of listening to an episode, my goal is complete.
Thank you, Pooja.
Thank you, Wyatt.